with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Well, if you're a motorsports fan, this weekend has got a lot to offer, from a race in Monte Carlo to the Indy 500. But NASCAR runs its longest event of the season and one of the more important races on its calendar Sunday night, the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte. Bob Prochrast joins us from Fox Sports on a Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, for a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. And drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. How are you, Bob?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. The Coca-Cola 600, this used to be an event where the engines used to be, the engineering of the engines were showcased with the next-gen car and advancements in technology. Do we still have that impressive build an engine to last 600 miles at top speed?
Well, I mean, it's impressive, but everybody seems to be able to do it. As you said, this used to be kind of a race where it was a battle of machine. Can the machine go 600 miles? Now, most of the machines can go 600 miles. Last year, some of the drivers had trouble going 600 miles.
Right.
Not a lot of the tires maybe weren't exactly to their liking. A lot of loads, a lot of spin outs. This year, a different tire, maybe fewer spin outs. But again, it's probably definitely more challenge on the drivers than it is the machines.
What is the major challenge of a race this long and the different conditions that come when the sun is shining and then you go into night?
Yeah, it's more, when going from day to night, is that the cars just handle differently. The track temperatures change. So the key for a driver is not to panic if they're not good early in the race and hope that their car, that the track kind of comes to them, throughout the event. And then when it gets later in the race, when they've been on the track for 4 hours, that they remain focused and at their best.
So given the way the season has gone so far, are we seeing a separation, or has the NASCAR season, because it's got a lot of different winners, are we seeing a little bit more parity?
I think you're seeing three organizations pretty much kind of be at the top, and that's Hendrick, Trackhouse, and Gibbs. And then I guess you throw a 2311 in there as the Gibbs affiliate team. Those have been the strongest cars week in and week out. Those would be the ones I'd look for at the 600. And I think everybody else is maybe just a tick behind.
Let's talk about last week, if you don't mind. I want to talk about North Wilkesboro. I remember in the 90s, when I first got into the media business, I covered races in Loudoun, New Hampshire. That was my first entry into motorsports. And I can remember the time when we saw that the schedule, there was this, North Wilkesboro was off, the dates were split, New Hampshire was going to get a second race. And I remember wondering what that meant in the NASCAR community. I was rather new to that. What did North Wilkesboro rejuvenation mean to people who've been around this sport a long time and to that area of the country where the sport is very popular?
Well, I think what it meant to the sport, this was their Field of Dreams and Winter Classic all rolled into one, and a community that just loved having them. The parade, a 55-minute parade of haulers going through not just North Wilkesboro, but the town of Wilkesboro. There's two separate towns. I mean, people just line the streets wearing their NASCAR gear, just really to see a bunch of tractor trailers drive through their community that they hadn't seen in years and years. As far as the event, I think it just showed that, when you expand and you try to go to new markets, you're always going to leave a few markets kind of behind, and I think this showed that NASCAR needed to get back to their roots a little bit. It was a great connection to their roots, and I think it opened up a lot of eyes of, this was done at North Wilkesboro. Where else could potentially this be done for a special event here or there?
Yeah, that was what I was going to lead to. Could we see NASCAR saying, some of these tracks still exist, and while some of them need some renovations and whatnot, every now and then, let's revisit an old track. Let's go back and go into the history books and the memories and run a special event at some places they haven't run before. I know there's a lot into that and it takes a while, but could that be a possibility?
I think so. I look, a track gets, probably right now 12 to 13 million for a race. from the broadcasting deal. And, you know, could there be a way for NASCAR to front that money to one of their traditional short tracks, help them make the improvements they need to have a major cup event? And even if they don't go there every year, or maybe just once every 5 years, all of a sudden this track now has, you know, a new improved facility, plus a little bit more of a connection to NASCAR. You know, there are all sorts of ideas going around, but I think that's one that should be given a serious look.
One thing I've always respected about NASCAR is it's always been willing to make changes to sort of enhance the product, to make it a little bit more entertaining, from stages to playoffs to wherever, to trying new things. And the schedule now is looking, with a dirt track race in Bristol that's been going on for a couple of years, more road course events, street circuit race in Chicago, which is going to be interesting. But does the Coca-Cola 600, does it still carry the prestige of all the newness that the sport brings? This is a racetrack that gave us Jeff Gordon his first victory. Does it still carry that level of prestige that we've known it in the past?
I think so, because I think it's carried that tradition. And 600 miles, it's the longest race. You know, there's certainly been a push and a movement to shorter races, but it's always good to have one marathon during the season. And this is NASCAR's marathon. It's on the epic day of motorsports. When you look at Formula One most of the time, and then obviously the Indianapolis 500 earlier in the day, and it's kind of one of those iconic events, and it's certainly one that carries the prestige, because Martin Truex Jr. won 300 or led 300 something laps most of the race a few years ago, but you know, most of the time, you know, this takes a race where you got to work to win this one, right? You got to work for over 4.5 hours. Your pit crew is going to be doing close to a dozen pit stops. You still have to have the car assembled right to be able to go this long. So I think when you talk about, you know, a true team effort, and one where you're asking your driver to be at his best, typically, you know, in the heat, at the end of May, it's one of those that you leave here feeling that you've accomplished something that maybe you don't necessarily feel every week in and week out.
For this particular race, we were talking about this yesterday with the Indy 500 in our preview of that, where is this one of those races where anybody could win, or is it more likely that it's a Hendricks or it's a Joe Gibbs Racing because of the length and maybe the demands on the car that those teams have that other smaller teams don't? Is the Coca-Cola 600, does it almost say, hey, look, like the Daytona 500, if circumstances are right, you can cross the finish line in any car? Is the Coca-Cola 600 similar or different?
It's more similar than different. I mean, I wouldn't say it's totally like a Daytona, but certainly longer race, the more chances to get caught up in an incident. Yeah. More chances for a top team to step on their feet. So make a mistake that either puts them out or puts them out of contention. And then this track can lend itself to some fuel mileage gambles. You've seen it before where drivers are running out in the last couple of laps, and that tends to create a surprise winner here or there.
The who's who of who've been successful in the sport have won the Coca-Cola 600. Bob, I appreciate it. Thank you so much and giving us some time. I know it's a busy weekend for you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Bob Pockrass, Fox Sports, and the Coca-Cola 600. And I was saying earlier, again, maybe some of you are motorsports fans, some of you aren't, but it is the biggest weekend. There's three events, and two of the events are part of what they call the Triple Crown of motorsports. There is the Monaco Grand Prix, the Indianapolis 500, and the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And two of those events take place on the same day. And but at the end of the day, with these two pretty prestigious events, is this race in Charlotte that is, again, it used to be, as we talked about at the beginning of the interview, it was a way for NASCAR to really showcase way back in the day, the engine builders of the sport. It was kind of like their race. You know, we go to all these other places, but could you build an engine that would last 600 miles at top speed, running hot, all of that? Can you do it? Can the engineering part of your team be successful? With the driver, of course, who has to kind of be focused, but can you build the engine? Some engines didn't make it, and some engines would make it. Now you don't feel that as much. But it's still a marathon event. It's a long race, and it is one of the more unique events on the NASCAR calendar. With all of the changes that have come to NASCAR, if you follow the sport, you know what I've been talking about. They've gone to different places. They're again, this summer, they're trying a street race in Chicago, which I'm fascinated to watch. But it's something different. It's something new. They've always done that. They've tried to, hey, throw you a playoff because the end of the season you get a little dull. Let's do these stage races. Let's do this. Let's go on more road courses. And this one stays the same. This one still is one of the crown jewels of their sport. The Coca-Cola 600 will be on Sunday.